Kathy and I enjoyed going last night to see the play that Bella was in. There were a few other actors in the play besides Bella, but we certainly went to support her. And she had written given some biographical information in the program, and spoke of admiring her. Her mom, Sister Angela, and said some nice things, true things there, certainly. And I was joking with Kathy, saying, well, she didn't even mention my name in there, but she did. She mentioned her church. And so it was very sweet, and I appreciate that so very much. I'd like to go to Acts. The book of Acts, the 17th chapter, and get a few verses right here to begin my thoughts this morning. Acts chapter 17, verse 24 says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we all are also his offspring. So in that sentence there, of those five verses, certainly speaks of God and emphasizes who he is, what he's done, and it would certainly minimize humankind in his sight in the fact that we are given everything from God. Certainly naturally and spiritually, he's Lord of heaven and earth. He created all. He's eternal. And then it mentions the blood there, made of one blood all nations of men. But then it comes on down, 28th verse, in him we live and move and have our being. I'd like to talk a little bit about the providence of God this morning. Providence is certainly, even in the Word, it's a providing. And so many times, and I refer to providence of God when we make it safely somewhere, even here this morning. And it does involve that. He certainly provided for our safety in getting to church. I'm going to Houston this afternoon and back. And while we're there, I pray for the providential care of God. But it's also, it's divine guidance. It's from God, from this God that was described in these few verses leading up to that 28th verse. So there's more than just a physical preparation. It's foresight. To prepare ahead of time something. The phrase divine guidance puts so much more meaning into that, in his caring for us. When we see that in one of the songs we sang, that all the debt that we owe and that all that he's given us, him being our redeemer, that he saved us eternally and he saves us now. And yet in this life, here in him, even now we live and move and have our being that he provides for us. And to me, I rest in peace knowing who it is that provides that, that providence, that caring and the guidance and being divine in that, in looking at the price that was paid for those that he cares for, that he provides for, that he shows his providence for. Also somewhat in this I see as Jesus Christ, our the great good shepherd, in that, yes, he watches over the sheep, the flock, and physically, but yet there's so much more in that. And that he teaches as shepherds, or as in Revelations, it talks about the angels of the churches, the preachers that watch over the respective flocks, that there's more than just a logistical, a day-to-day, just a checklist of things to watch for and to prepare for in providence. But there's a love in there, a caring. And so we see the price that was paid. Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, in that he guides us in our lives. And in fact, in reading this, and as we go forward in talking about this and the providing or preparing for the future for us, and I certainly pray to that end. But in if I jump over to Ephesians, the first chapter of Ephesians. Speaking of in Jesus Christ, in the seventh verse, in whom we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Then in the 11th verse, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. So we have the providence of God. We have this in time here, in him caring for us, in his caring for us, his guiding us. Because that is found in his purpose. His purpose does stand. It shall stand. His purpose has been carried out. It shall be realized. And so we can rest in that. We know that. But in our lives, in knowing, realizing that then, and many times I'll say that since we see that and we actually have been blessed to realize that Jesus Christ finished the salvation, the work of salvation on the cross, that then all we have left to do then within the providential care of God Almighty is to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, to serve him. And so that's what we have to do. So that's what we have. So I believe providence is very important in that guidance that we're given by God in our lives to serve him, because we realize that here in Ephesians that his purpose stands. It's there. It is as solid as Jesus Christ himself. And so we have the providence in our lives, the care that he gives us, and this great power that we'll read of in a moment, his great power and ability to bless us with his providence. And so we pray for that. Now let's go to, I believe it's 1 Chronicles 29, 29th chapter of 1 Chronicles. The 11th verse says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. So this describes when we say, well, who is it that grants us this providential care? Who prepares our ways and our steps in life? Being born again, children of God, completely passive in that, passive in the salvation that's in Jesus Christ, but active. And in our walk in life, in choosing what we're to do in service to Him. And the reason for that, we know, is not to keep eternal life, to gain eternal life. It's because we have it. And so then we owe that to Him. We have an obligation. And when He speaks in John 13 of when Jesus Christ and the disciples washed each other's feet, and Jesus said that if I wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. There's an obligation there. I'm obligated to do what I do in service to God, but yet in His providential care, His divine guidance, I realize and I'm caused to have that desire to do that. I see my failings in what I do, but He blesses us in caring for us. He prepares us in not only to arrive here safely each Sunday morning or whenever we meet together as the church, but He prepares us mentally and spiritually as well. That's so important. We could be here physically, and if we're not here spiritually, we're not communing our spirit with His spirit, then it's all for naught. Yet He blesses us in that. He prepares our hearts because we already have a clean heart. That's done. I could simply stop serving Him. I could succumb to the sinfulness of my outer man. I realize and I have the desire out of gratefulness to Him to serve Him. That's why we come to honor Him and to praise Him. As this singing school that just ended, not a part of the church, but it is a preparation for leading songs and singing songs of Zion. Who wouldn't want to sing, try to learn to sing better to God Almighty? But when you sing, though, and I know this was mentioned, that if my voice doesn't sound that good to you, I know that God hears my singing through my heart. He hears it from there, but that's where He's already implanted. That's where Jesus lives and has taken up His abode there. And so therefore it is a sweet smelling savor to Him when we sing the songs of Zion, the scriptural songs that support the doctrine, not another gospel, not another doctrine, but the gospel and doctrine of Jesus Christ. So these here in 1 Chronicles, these couple of verses describe this one that provides the divine guidance, the future preparation in our lives for whatever that is. Just think for a moment all of your personal needs, the things that you have ahead of you, whether it be today, next week, and in the near future. Things that we may not be even aware of, but He knows and He can prepare our ways. Then we certainly give Him all the praise, honor, and glory for that. So this describes this great God here that gives us this providential care that is foundational, is built upon the foundation of His perfect purpose for His people. So certainly very important. Now let me jump back over to the New Testament in Romans, the sixth chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 6. I don't know if I can put a priority or a percentage on where I need His providential care. Like I said, He causes us to move and to have our being and to breathe and so forth. But here in the 6th chapter of Romans, in the 12th verse, it says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." 14th verse, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." In that, He prepares us to serve Him as we should. There was a sister in the church there in Houston that used to say, "Well, if I'm going to think it, I might as well say it." But that scares me to death, depending on what's going to be said. I've thought about that many times that I have thoughts but we're not to the sinful things, because we still have the outer man here, but what guides us through the providence of God in what we do, what we say, how we act in life toward one another is this Spirit within us, given us when we're born again. And so we're given that, even in being born again, then we're given what we need to not have sin reign in our mortal bodies. Because I could easily do that, and we succumb to it, and we're we can become weak in that, in our human nature. When somehow I'm made to be successful in this divine guidance of God Almighty, of Jesus Christ in my life, then my human nature would take credit for that. Yet it's Jesus Christ who dwells within us that causes that. So even He gets the glory in that when I would do good. Apostle Paul said, "When I would do good, evil is present with me." It's always there. When we're able to overcome through this preparation of God, then we give Him the glory and honor in that. And He is glorified in that. On top of that, I don't want to just simply do good toward God because we reap the blessings that He pours out upon us. We see that happening in our lives. The things that happen, and then I might say, "Well, why is that good happening to that person? They don't deserve that. Who am I to judge?" I need to look at myself and realize that I don't deserve the good that I get in my life. He cares for those that love Him. And if we love Him, then He has given us that life within us. Now, in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, get out of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Fourteenth verse says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." The love of Christ constraineth us. There, and that means to hold or to keep, to press. The love of Christ constrains us, and so in His providence, in preparing us for whatever it may be, I believe He prepares us to be good followers of Christ, Christians, good obedient children of God, even in the workplace, because they see, they notice, and there's a difference there. And I see those that when I talk to them, they've never never heard of the term primitive Baptist, but I can see the fruit of the Spirit within them and give God the glory for that. But He has providentially watched over them. And so it's an encouragement. So in this providence, as He constrains us, the love of Christ constrains us. He has the power to overrule sin. He has the power to constrain us, to press us, to keep us in that here in this life, because He has done that eternally. He has granted us the life and the eternal life through Christ eternally. So we have that now. And so we can receive this providential care. There are some things that when I'm going along, everything seems to be going just fine in life. And I don't need the providence right now. And so certainly an unwise, foolish statement. Oh, foolish Galatians. I mentioned that here recently. The unwise to think that because He constrains us. The love of Christ constrains us, even when we don't think we need that in our lives. Now, back in Ephesians, but the second chapter, Ephesians chapter 2, in our walk in life, this is just after the 8th and 9th verses that I tried to preach on, I guess, a couple of Sundays back. But in the 10th verse, as these thoughts continue, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So he has prepared, before provided and prepared that we should walk in these good works. If I don't do that, that does not remove any of the power of God and His salvation of my body, soul, the redemption of my body, soul, and spirit. But we are in Christ Jesus created unto good works, which God before ordained. He before provided. That's what that word ordained means. That we should walk in them. We should do that. Again, this is where I hang on to. I grab hold of the good works that others do around me as an encouragement, as an exhortation to do those good works. I give God the praise, honor, and glory for those things. But He is blessed to so many around us as good examples. And I think of the Apostle Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, I still am that, but being the wretch that I am, the sinner that I am, I am also one of the saints of God, cleansed by the blood of Christ, and so I can and I should walk in these good works here." The reason for that differs in the church, and I'm thankful for those. I wish that they had the peace in knowing that if they fall in life and walking in these good works, that they're still saved. They have not fallen from grace eternally. You may fall from grace here in life for a time, we are in the same position now and eternally we were placed in at the time that the legal work of Christ was applied to our soul and our spirit and our heart, and legally that it was obtained for us on the cross, show just as we see in this in the law service. I'm thankful now that simply to walk in the ways that we should walk. In our lives here, under the providential care and guidance of God Almighty and our good shepherd, Jesus Christ, we're not having to fulfill the law to a jot and to a tittle. Jesus Christ did that. He fulfilled that. And now we walk in fact, we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So we are to do that in our lives. Now I want to go to the 25th Psalm. Psalm 25. And Psalmist David, this is worded so well in as far as the providence of God. Psalm 25, verse 4, he says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths." He's not asking to be shown his ways, David's. I know what my ways are. I want God to show me his ways. O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Thou art the God of my salvation, certainly eternally. His purpose stands, and yet here in life also upon God, he is the God of my salvation here and now. Physically, in all the dangers, even that we're not made aware of in driving on the roads and so forth, but even in being protected, I from time to time think about when our house was broken into in 2014, when we were asleep, four of us asleep, and somebody had broken in. Lord providentially cared for us in that. I try not to dwell on what could have happened. I dwell on what did not happen, and God watches over us in that, from time to time wakes us up, but he saves us here, but also he saves us when we realize that there's not one sin that I've committed, that you have committed, that God, that Jesus Christ could not pay for. He paid for it all. He cast every one of them into the sea as far away from us as eternity. There's so much in this salvation of our God. On thee do I wait all the day. The ninth verse here in this 25th Psalm says, "The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies." So the logistical providence, the care, the preparation in our lives, in making it somewhere safely, or even protecting us here while we're here in this place, and all in that, we see the love of God Almighty, an eternal love that I believe that we will understand in completeness when we are there, in soul and spirit, certainly in body. When it's reunited with the soul and spirit, we'll understand as he providentially cared for us in our lives, even still being a wretched man that I am, then we'll see the love that he had, we see that in his watch care over us, which many times that's the way prayers are worded. We're thankful for his watch care over us, in the price that was paid. Let me end up on Jesus Christ, the price that was paid for us, for all God chose before the foundation of the world. He cares for us even even now. He guides us. And yet, we don't believe that He has determined, predetermined every step that we take, every word that we say, and still. And so I do still pray that I will handle myself, carry myself, word things in a way that is acceptable to God in communicating with His children, with those that He has made clean by the blood of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, as He providentially watches over us and cares for us. Let's be thankful for that providence. I pray for that providence continued in this church, in all the respective bodies that go together to make up the church. It certainly is a miracle of God when He blesses us with that. May God bless and keep you is my prayer. We'll sing a song now. Open the doors of the church. If anyone has a desire to join you, let us know.